Anyhow, continue to be in prayer for one another and these that are on our bulletin. Remember Brother Ron's prayer request this morning concerning family member. Well, it involves a great grandchild, so remember that family in your prayers. When you pray for Brother Ron, why, just think of his prayer request there and pray. Turn with me in your Bibles this evening to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. And last week, we commenced dealing with verse 9. Didn't get through it. So that's where we'll take up this week. And we'll read verses 9, 10, and 11 because we definitely will be into, well, I think we definitely will be into verse 10. Tonight, and then 11 shortly. And to make all men see it, Paul's talking about the ministry that was given to him. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Blessed verse. Well, all these verses are blessed verses, are they not? But verse 9, as we looked at it last week, and we're dealing with to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Remember, we said last week that we don't think fellowship is correct English word there, and that somewhere in the translations, quite possibly in the copying of the original manuscripts and the older ancient manuscripts agree with this, through a pen stroke or whatever, prefix got added on to the Greek word, and which would have made it translate fellowship or participation. Believe it to mean the word to mean administration, management of a household, and that's in keeping with the text. Remember, we went back to the previous verse where Paul talked about the dispensation, which is actually the Greek word that means administration, a manager of a household. And that's in keeping with the rest of Scripture when you consider the tabernacle had an administrator, Moses, and the temple had an administrator, Solomon, and the church has an administrator. Paul was appointed the administrator of it, and thus we have the much of the New Testament is given to us from the hand of Paul, or because his eyesight evidently was dim, there were others that transposed for him. So he was the administrator, just as Moses, just as Solomon were. He is the administrator. To night. Let me get the right page here. Tonight we want to consider the thought that this mystery was hid in God. Our verse said that it was hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. It was hid in God when? Before the foundation of the world. It was hid in God. As far as the Lord Jesus Christ having created the heavens and earth, we can't say they were created before the foundation of the world, but they certainly were hid in God before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ, the Word, God, created all things. John chapter 1, and I know you know this, but you children, listen up. I know your mom and dad are not teaching you evolution. I know they're teaching you creation according to the Word of God. Or I'm pretty certain they are. But if you haven't already ran into children even from other Christian homes who believe that, well, it's evolution, you need to know the, what God's Word says. You need to know the truth of it. So, I need to preach it as pastor of this flock, and your mom and dad need to reinforce it. Amen. Satan is powerful and subtle. And while I was a young lad, the war was raging. The schools didn't put up much of a fight. Christians didn't put up much of a fight. And so the battle has been lost in public education. And public education is a whole nother beast. And whether you think it's right or not, or whether I think it's right or not, that's another subject for not for here and now. But John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Who in the world is he talking about? Well, you're going to answer Jesus Christ. Yeah. Well, verse 14 tells you that it is. And the Word was made flesh. God. Was made flesh. And dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Who is the only begotten of the Father? Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 3. All things were made by Him. By whom? By the Word. By God. By the only begotten of the Father. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Not a thing. He made it all. And it wasn't spontaneous combustion. And he didn't set things in motion and then they just evolved. He created them. He made them. And we're going to get further in this in just a minute. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 8. First Corinthians chapter 8. In verse 6. But to us, there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things. And we by Him. And in case you don't understand that, we by Him, it's not talking about, and we all men by Him. However, that would be true. But in keeping with the context, he's talking to the church, an assembly of saved people, born again people. And so, we that are saved by Him, and the church by Him. Yes, I guess you all have gathered by now I'm a church man. I love the Lord's church. It's a blessed institution. Colossians chapter 1. Talking in these verses about Jesus Christ. And verse 16 says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. The word consist there goes to the meaning of being held together. And that's going to become very evident in the next passage that we read. But how many things were created by Him? All things. All things. Visible and invisible. Did you know there's things that they cannot even see that He created? They cannot even see with the most powerful, what is it, microscope? There's things they don't even know a thing about. I'm going to show you in this next verse we read. All the foolishness of man. And all their surmisings. And you know, we've gotten so smart for ourselves and we do too much thinking and instead of reading the Word of God. And just let the Word of God speak. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Another one of Jesse's passages that he was at this morning. And chapter 1. That's okay. He was talking about another subject. than what I'm talking about. But it all goes to the same person, Jesus Christ. Verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. There's my word. Worlds. Not cosmos. I can't even say it. It's the Greek word aeon. And it means to perpetuate. You see where this is going? Everything that He created, He made it to perpetuate. As you look into the heavens, as you look to the earth, He made it to perpetuate, to continue. What does that say about the foolishness of man? What does that say about Halley's Comet and all the other foolishness? You see, it is going to perpetuate until when, Brother Jesse? Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 3. When He burns it all up and creates it anew. And then it will be perpetuated for how long? Eternal. Forever. Wow. We have a great big God, don't we, Jesse Jr.? Yes. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Word, God, created all things, and all things that He created, made it to perpetuate. Even man, as best as he tries, can stop man, cannot stop man from perpetuating. Only God can. God's in control of it. Well, of course, the natural man doesn't like to hear that. This mystery of the church, of creation even, if you please, was hid in God before the foundation of the world. Before ever anything was created. It was hid in God. It was known only to Himself. I don't know when He created angels. I don't know if it was during the 6 days of creation that He created angels, or if it was before He began to create the heavens and the earth. I don't know. Maybe Brother Franz can shed some light on that after the service. But I don't know. Don't find it in here. Yeah, don't find it in here, do we? And if we don't find it in here, well, let's not worry ourselves about it, right? The fact is, He did create them. And some of them fell. And some were elected not to fall. You see. Before He created all things, All things were planned or purposed by Him. Heavens and earth and all things in them, including redemption, including place of worship. I take it back to Genesis 3. Where did Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel worship? At the door to Eden? At the gate to Eden? Where the cherubims were? And where are cherubims in Scripture? Seated upon the mercy seat? Who's seated on the mercy seat? God is on the mercy seat. You see. So, I think that's where they worshiped. After the expulsion from the garden. The tabernacle. The temple for Israel. Both of them. Tabernacle and temple for Israel. His church. His organization, not just for Israel, but for all nationalities. That's what we're studying in Ephesians. It was for all nationalities. Turn with me back to the book of Isaiah concerning the counsels and purposes of God. Isaiah chapter 14. In verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, as I have devised and purposed. That's the word, the Hebrew word. It's not a real forceful word. Is not as forceful as this next word. So shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. This purposed here is a different Hebrew word. It means devised or purposed, planned, but it goes to His determined in device and plan, purpose. You see, the first one is just kind of like it was devised in a purpose in His mind and not with any real force. But the second word, purposed, is with force. He determined it. Doesn't matter whether it's a passive devise and purpose, or whether it's a forceful one and going to come to pass. And that's what He's saying here in this verse. He said, even that thought, as He had thought, as He had devised and purposed, so shall it come to pass. And then, as I purpose, so shall it stand. It's determined to be so. Look at verse 27. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? and his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Who is able? Who is able to make it void? Who is able to make any of the thoughts and the plans, the purposes, the devices of God, the counsels of God, who is able to make them void? None. More powerful than you or I is Satan. And he wasn't able to do it. So who does man think he is? Chapter 25. In verse 1. O Lord, Thou art my God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name. For Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old, His purposes of old, before the foundation of the world, are faithfulness and truth. Everything that He has purposed and has come to pass to this very day expressed to you and I the faithfulness of God. And it expresses to you and I that that which hasn't come to pass yet shall come to pass because of the faithfulness of God. So be it. I said so be it because the Hebrew word for truth there is omen, which we get our word amen from. But it does go to it's truth. It's God has purposed it. So be it. It's truth. It's veracity. It's going to come to pass. Just because it hasn't come to pass doesn't mean it's not going to come to pass. Just because it's been 2,000 years since Jesus Christ doesn't mean He's not coming. He's coming. It just tells us that it's 2,000 years closer to His coming than it was 2,000 years ago. There men like to talk about the one day is 1,000 years is a day theory and all that. And then they talk about the six-day theory and everything. Well, He created heaven and earth and everything in them in how many days? 6 days? Rested on the seventh. Well, if you use the six-day scenario, we're dawning on the seventh day now. Now, I'm not setting time. Don't go out of here and say, Preacher Bourne said this. No. I'm just letting you know His coming is close at hand. And it might be another 20 years, might be another 50 years. But His coming is close at hand. He is coming. Now back to our text in Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 10. Here we have the church's ministry. Let's read it again. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. In the preceding verse, verse 9, we're told that the mystery was revealed to Paul, as well as the apostles and prophets. That is, those apostles and prophets of that day of the days of Jesus Christ and on had this revealed to them. And that he was given the ministry of administrator. Paul said he was given the ministry of being the administrator of the church, seeing to its proper organization, seeing that it was carried out according to the plans that were given to him, according to the purposes of Christ. Concerning the mystery. What was the mystery? The church. That which the Old Testament saints didn't see. They were blinded to it. Paul was faithful to his heavenly vision. Paul was faithful. I can't stress that enough. This morning we said another faithful servant of the Lord, Ruth. What a blessing it is as we study Ruth and to see her faithfulness as a child of God coming forth from chapter 1 and her faithfulness through chapter 2 and now into chapter 3 of Ruth. And Paul was faithful to his heavenly vision, to his commission, to his ministry that was given unto him. Turn with me back to the book of Acts. In chapter 26, you might have just dealt with this not too long ago in Sunday school. Well, it's been several months now. But look at let's begin reading with verse 14. And Paul here is standing before King Agrippa, and as was his custom, and he was told that he would be able to do this before kings and governors. Verse 14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, he's given his Damascus Road experience, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Notice he said, Who art thou, Lord? He knew he was Lord. He knew he was master. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's what was told him on the Damascus Road by Christ. And his words of testimony to King Agrippa were in verse 19. Whereupon, O Agrippa, I was not disobedient under the heavenly vision. That which I received of the Lord, I was not disobedient to do. I went and I did it all. Not fearing for my life, not counting my life dear unto myself. In fact, he said in Philippians chapter 3 that he might know more of the sufferings. That he might have a greater participation in the sufferings of Christ. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4. And look with me here at verses 6 and 7. And he tells Timothy in this letter, "For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Where's he going to? Where's he departing to? He's about to leave this earth. He knows it. He knows his time is drawing to an end. He says, "I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be offered." And here's the basis on what he said he was ready to go. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. When that day comes, I want to be able to say that. I want to say, I'm ready to go. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I don't want to have departed from it." That's another verse Brother Jesse read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11. We need to take the more earnest heed, brethren, lest we let these things slip. Oh, once it's not that important. I'm tired of the fight. Just don't be so dogmatic about it. You know, we could fill this building up. If we start receiving all kinds of memberships and baptisms and open up our Lord's Supper, and why, we could fill the place up. It's not important to hold
grape juice.
Yeah, serve grape juice and bread. How many of you know my testimony? That's one of the things I used as a kid. I mean, that's one of the things that enticed me. The church that we were attending at that time, you know, Mom and Dad had just a few years before that come to Doctrines of Grace and some Church Truth, and but weren't quite ready to make the split yet. But you know, and us kids could go back in the back, you know, when they would get after they was done taking the Lord's Supper, and there's all those bread wafers cut up in nice little squares, and I mean real bread, sandwich bread. Cut up nice little squares and grape juice that they're pouring back in the grape juice bottle. And where they give us kids a cup and a wafer of bread and stuff and let us eat. Boy, I wanted to sit out there with the big folks and eat that bread and drink that grape juice. You see, I was heavy as a child, too. Yeah, that's... I wore Huskies back then. That was for fat kids. Listen, we're not here to please men. We're here to please God. Message this morning: bring glory unto Him. And we not do it by giving in to those things. We do it by standing steadfast in the truth that He's taught us as a church. Moses was administrator of the building of the tabernacle, making sure that everything was built according to the pattern. And Paul was administrator of the church. Moses as an administrator, when everything was completed according to the pattern, God had put His approval upon it, he turned that over then to the priesthood, to the Levites. In our verse before us now, Paul, as administrator, when his task is done, when his journey is done, it becomes the responsibility of the church. But until that time, we find Paul tarrying at certain places, a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, teaching, instructing, writing letters to them, administrating the work of the church. And when he had ordained elders in every city, as common as good, then he turned it over to the church. You see. So in the light of churches properly fulfilling their responsibility, Paul said, I am now ready to be offered. My departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. You see. And become the church's responsibility. Next week we'll get into looking at something that I do know about the angels and is revealed to us about the angels in Scripture. And it comes from verse 10 as well. So, shall we stand, be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Ron, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Through the week. Use us, bring us together again to the midweek service. We'll be careful to give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're 24 hours closer than we were yesterday. He was talking about